To order, and as usual, we begin with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Wolfcott?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Cavalieri?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Vaughn?
Here.
Okay, first up is audience communication. This is where you talk to the council. Is there anybody signed up? Okay, thank you. Wendy Olson, please, name and address.
Hi, my name is Bundy Olson. That's B-U-N-D-I-E-O-L-S-E-N. And I live in Wildflower. And first of all, I want to just thank you so much for making the decision to redo our road in Wildflower. And I know that we're all just really looking forward to it. But I'm going to really save my celebration until actually the work gets done. I just have a couple things. As I was reading through the motion the last week, and I saw, you know, and I was kind of surprised when I was sitting here and I heard that the scoping wasn't going to be done until June. And I was just really shocked by that, because it seems like when Scott was here, he said he might have been able to do it that very week. And so I'm just wondering why it would take until June to get that scoping done. It's not weather, the weather doesn't really affect how that, when that's done. And, you know, and then then it would be paved in August. And in August, you know, the kids are out of school in June. And, you know, they start back to school in September. And so the whole summer is really gone, and so we've lost two summers for the kids. So I'm just asking the city council if they would consider taking another look at the scheduling and find out, I know you have an excellent staff, and so to find out if there's any way that you could hurry up this thing and have the scoping done in April and maybe even get the paving done earlier than August. And I just would really appreciate your considering this. And, you know, it's really nice to be able to tell the kids that it's going to be done. And, you know, I really, when you see them struggling and, you know, they come up and they say, well, when's the road going to be done? I'd like to be able to say, well, really soon. So I'd just like you to take just a brief look at it and see if you can't expedite that, and we would really appreciate it. And I just really want to tell you again that I really appreciate your making this decision, and hope that you'll consider this. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Coming. Rebecca, can you get back to her on the timing and at a later date? Okay. Anybody else want, Will?
Can we just clarify, because I think what Scott said, he would know the next week when the scoping could be done, because the trick is it's got to go out for bid, and that was what he came back was that the scoping could be done in June. So don't want a misunderstanding about this week. Scott didn't promise something was impossible. Maybe it wasn't clear on what he said. Isn't that true?
Thank you, Councilmember Todd. Yes, the scoping, actually we can go out there while they're doing it and look at the camera as they're scoping, but you're absolutely correct. We let an annual contract. And so we're preparing the RFP, and the June date was actually Scott's recommendation based on the timing of doing an RFQ and getting those in and scheduling the work. What we've done is schedule this for the first part of the work to be done in the overall contract of everything to be scoped in the city this summer. And then based on that, having to schedule the paving with the county's schedule as well.
Thanks.
Will?
Southeast of Mill Creek. Three quick points. For the 15th, it appears that the fire service will be unsuccessful in their legislation to get a levy lid lift statewide. The session's not over, and they may have a special session, but the House has passed the legislation, House Bill 1467, but the Senate Bill 5000 and something is tied up in committee, so that doesn't look like it's going to succeed. again. Although we've talked about roads a lot, I'll bring it up again. And I've worked all over the country and seen a lot of roads and driven on a lot of roads and back roads and whatever. And most places in the country have roads that are significantly inferior to ours by a very, very large degree. I mean, it is amazing how poor some of the roads are. And you look at our roads, and I think the people throughout the country would love to have roads that are as good as ours. And so I really wonder if we need this extremely aggressive road preservation system we're working on. Personally, I think it's really too aggressive. And on the stormwater piping, again, kind of like along the same lines, I agree a little bit with what Mike has said about it in the past. I've never seen this aggressive of an approach to stormwater piping. Town I lived in Montana had WA installed sewer piping, combined sewer piping, and connections weren't made in the center of the streets, intersections, properly in some places. But they didn't go up and scope this thing and tear up every intersection. They kind of waited for it to sag a little bit and then go fix it. It's awfully expensive, and I noticed Seattle had a sinkhole the other day, and they didn't announce that they were going to go scope every piece of pipe in the state, in the city. I think it's too aggressive and too expensive. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Going once, twice? Okay, with that, we're up to the consent agenda. We have item B, benefit and ACH payments in the amount of $27,557.20. Council members Cavallari and Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
Okay, approval of checks number 56678 through 56759 and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $221,217.18. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
Mine says 222. City Council meeting minutes of January 24th, 2017. City Council meeting minutes of February 7th, 2017. City Council meeting minutes of February 14th, 2017. City Council meeting minutes of February 28th, 2017. City Council meeting minutes of March 7th, 2017. And City Council meeting minutes of March 14th, 2017. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Mayor, if I may, I think there's some corrections. I'm just trying to get. They're in what?
They're in the package.
But do they have copies of the days? Sorry, there were a couple of corrections and updated copies were provided, but I believe they were only provided electronically, excuse me. So there was a correction to the minutes of, bear with me here, one moment. The minutes talking about the Northwest Senior Contract.
What date?
February 28th. Yes, February 28th. The amount referenced in there should be $12,500, not $12,000.
That's item C.
Item C, yes, on February 28th. And the other two dates, Joanna? March 14th, where I believe we had a motion that was missing with regard to council member Todd, who was participating telephonically, and the council moved pursuant to the governance manual to allow that, and that change has been made, correct? And then we had put on the minutes, again, if you could provide the date, Councilmember Bond, did we include
February 28th.
That was included on the 28th. Thank you. So I just want to say, Joanna went in and made some updates to those and uploaded those online. My apologies, those should have been at the dais. So those were corrections that were made. So we would recommend the motion be to adopt it as corrected.
We have a motion.
Can I make one further correction? As notified by our audience, that on February 14th, let's also add a couple of E's to Bundy Olson's name. Now we have the spelling. Thanks.
Thank you. We will make that correction as well.
Ask one question.
Yeah.
A couple months ago, I raised the point about whether or not we should note in the minutes that whether the audit committee has any exceptions. And I like the format of the minutes, but I noticed that wasn't in there.
I don't know if this is the appropriate place. I'll defer to the mayor. We have kind of just a short run-through of the change in the format we'd like to go through with the council. But to answer your question, Councilmember Holzko, what we did in trying to kind of bring some structure to the city clerk's office is go back and really create a matrix of how we prepared the minutes and compare that to Robert's Rules of Order. As well as look at our governance manual and come up with an updated format. The guidance from the manual is really the minutes should reflect only the action taken, not what was said. And so because you have a recording that reflects everything that was said, your reference to whether or not there are exceptions are recorded on the recording, if you will. And the minutes, at least according to the rules, are should just reflect the motion and the vote.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to do your presentation before we pass the consent agenda?
It makes no difference to us. If it would be helpful to the council, we can do that as very short, or if you'd like to.
Very short sounds good. Go ahead.
Okay. So in talking about just the overall city clerk's office, this is an opportunity keeping in mind our philosophy of continuous improvement, of really kind of going and updating our procedures. And I think fundamentally one of my concerns, and I know concerns shared by many of you, is making data accessible to the public and for transparency. So to give you an idea of the concern, if you'll go down Peggy City Council resolutions, if you look at our resolutions, for example, for 2016, they're just by number. And they don't get, that's not very helpful unless you know exactly the number you're looking for. So one of the projects that we're trying to organize, if you can go back to the ordinances now, City Council ordinances, is we want to kind of go in and we want to put references next to the numbers. So this would really be with all of our documents. Specific to the minutes, if we can go to the agendas, we have a program called iCompass, and it's a program that the city has had for a number of years. And the idea is to make the publishing of the agenda and the minutes streamlined and connected to one another. But we've only implemented the agenda portion of iCompass. We never implemented or utilized the minutes portion. We've been paying for the complete software package, and it kind of makes sense to use the entire software package. It also provides, I think, easier access to the documents for the public. So in the council agenda, iCompass automatically provides three versions of the agenda. You have the HTML version, the PDF, which just provides you a printed copy if you want it, and then the split screen, which is just that, a split screen that shows the agenda, but it has a notes section as well. iCompass is in the process of actually merging these three types of ways that it portrays the council agenda. And there'll just be two, and that'll come out later this year. And so it'll just be the HTML and the PDF, and the notes opportunity will now be contained in the HTML. But in the agenda, you have links. And so people can go down in the agenda and hit a link and automatically go to that agenda item. So that's a little bit, you know, more user-friendly for the public than having to get out of this, go find it somewhere else. et cetera. The agenda really is pre-council action, right? These are the items coming to the council. The minutes, if we can go to that, and this is the format, and these templates tie to one another. And so some of these things in the minutes auto-populate from the agenda that you just kind of go and fill in. So you can see on the minutes, and the version you would have online, there is a link in the minutes where the public can go in and they can, first of all, go to the recording that relates to those minutes so they don't have to get out and go find that elsewhere. Also, the agenda that ties to the minutes are in there. So if you want to go see the agenda that goes to these minutes. But also, if you go down through the minutes, on this particular day, February 7th, the council adopted this ordinance. So you could actually click on the approved ordinance, the signed copy of the ordinance, and it's right there in the minutes. The pre-approved copy would be in the agenda. That would be the unsigned version. The signed version is actually in the minutes. Same thing with resolutions. If you the pre-approved unsigned copy would be in the agenda, the signed copy would be in the minutes. And you can actually link everything if you wanted to in the minutes, proclamations, presentations, and so we're looking at that. There's a couple of things we've asked iCompass to go back and look at for us. But one of the benefits, and I appreciate the council's patience because we're basically trying to create the system as we create the formats, but the continuous process improvement here is we used to do the minutes manually in a Word document and import them, and then you'd have to go separately to the agenda and those kinds of, or yeah, the agenda to pick up the documents. For a normal to lengthier council meeting, that took several hours because you're having to go listen to the tape and summarize. With using both aspects of iCompass, we're down to about 20 minutes on the minutes. That's a benefit, right? Because you have three council meetings a month. If you're talking several hours for every council meeting, that staff time of 2 or 3 days a month is just devoted to that function if you're doing it manually. That also delays our ability to get the minutes in the next packet and are quickly available to the public. So this is what we, step one, we have some outstanding issues with iCompass that we're working on. And there's some hyperlinks we want them to work on. There's some links that aren't opening in new windows that they're working on, and we want the fonts to match, and they're working on that for us for consistency's sake. We think that these minutes reflect really what minutes are. They are a recording of the action that the body took. The agenda is the outline of the information presented for action to the council. And then your recording is separate, like I said, that's your transcription. Minutes are not meant to be a transcription. They are just meant to reflect the action that the body took. So we definitely want your feedback. I think for the public, it's certainly nice when you're looking at a minute to just click on an ordinance or a resolution and see the signed copy without having to go elsewhere. You know, we definitely like your input. If you think everything should be linked that's referenced in the minute, presentations, proclamations, or just the legislative actions of ordinances and resolutions. But the goal here is to be more efficient for staff time, to be more in keeping with what the official minutes of the City Council should look like. And to be more user-friendly to the public in terms of transparency and being able to get documents quickly.
Why don't you give us a chance to use it for a couple of weeks, maybe schedule it for either the first meeting in May?
Sure.
And give us a chance to try.
And please feel free to email me with comments. You know, don't feel like you have to wait for a meeting, but we're refining this and working with it. Peggy, anything I didn't cover that you wanted to say?
I think that covers it. A good tool. I just need some experience using it.
And I apologize for tonight. It's, as I said, Councilmember Michelson asked me recently, it's like, is there a way we could get our policies done faster, where we could maybe utilize some templates from other cities, which is a really good question. You know, our issue is we're not just writing policies, but we're building the systems to support the policy. And so this might be a policy or procedure about how to bring our minutes in line with the generally accepted best practice, but we also have to build the system to do that. And that takes time, policy by policy, system by system.
Okay. So thanks to staff, I brought up some of the issues that it turns out you guys were troubleshooting at the very time, so it sounds like iCompass had some things that don't work in their system, but it looks like the ones that we had questions on tonight are instances where we made a motion that wasn't on the agenda. That's exactly what's going on, isn't it? So the agenda only produced these things that should be linked for resolutions or whatever, but if we made a motion to excuse Councilmember Bond or to allow Councilmember Todd to vote, those things weren't prompted by the template. So I think that's the trick, is to figure out how, when we go off the agenda, then you're going to have to kind of modify that to make it work, aren't you?
No, I think that's right. And one of the things Peggy's working on is basically a working template for the council meeting to kind of pencil in the key phrases of things. We're also looking at modifying the council agenda summary sheet, where we would have a proposed motion. You know, right now it says council action, you know, and we're basically a motion to authorize. And we might more formally word that, which we hope would be helpful to you, speed the meeting along, but also be directly imported to the minutes. And, you know, unless that changes or substantively, then again, that would just be another efficiency tool.
Good. Yeah, good. Can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. We're now up to reports, and some of the things that the city manager will be talking about were things we've discussed, and I'd like to give a report, hit a report on. So with that, I'm done. Councilmember Bond?
No report.
Councilmember Kelly?
Thank you, Mayor. There was a RIA 8 Salmon Recovery Council meeting on Thursday, March 16th, and there were a couple of neat handouts that they gave us. One was a success story, Green Shores for Homes programs, where they're replacing bulkheads and armored shorelines with natural landscapes to promote, you know, the, you know, fish, plant life, you know, that sort of thing. I've got a handout for anybody that would like to see that. They also, at that meeting, had a set of goals that they had revised. There were some streams that are classified as Tier 1 and 2, and they had reclassified a couple of streams where dams used to be, and now there's lots of fish there. So I have handouts for both of those for anybody that would like to see them. I've also invited Jason, their chair, to come and speak with us and kind of get us caught up on the goals and, you know, what we've got. But I would like to coordinate that with, when we talk about the interlocal agreement with him. So I'll get with you, city manager, and we'll come up with a date. Jason is more than happy to come and visit with us. And just one more thing I wanted to say about our template. If anybody hadn't noticed the meeting minutes of March 14th, there are links in there for the handouts that were presented. If you remember, Gordon LaBarre came up and he'd put this big piece of paper up on the wall. That's actually contained in here now. Somehow they captured it and made it an attachment to our minutes. I thought that was that's a really neat feature of what we're doing now. So thank you for that.
Thanks for bringing it up. I forgot to address that. But yeah, anything presented during a council meeting to the council as a handout, we can link into the minutes. Thanks.
That's all I had. Thank you.
Councilmember Cavallari.
No report, ma'am.
Councilmember Marcus. No report this evening.
No report.
Councilmember. Just real quick, there's been lots of talk about transportation and the president's budget and Olympia and all those things. I'll just mention that we went to a skit meeting this morning where positive things are happening with respect to the US 2 trestle. The state legislature is kind of dialed in on this. I think Judy Cliburn's going to be coming up and taking a look. They're going to give her a tour at 7:30 in the morning and show what's going on. I heard an amazing number. I don't know if you've heard of other places, that US 2 trestle carries as much traffic as the Alaska Way Viaduct does. And I had no idea, but that number's starting to get out there that that's a big deal. And so they're starting to see some movement statewide to say this is something that's a not just a Lake Stevens and Everett issue, not just a Snohomish County issue. This is a regional issue. It's a big deal. So there's some traction there. And the people who are back in Washington, D.C. for National League of Cities got a chance to be with Maria Cantwell and said, US 2 is a mess. We need some help with the trestle. And so she's shown some interest in that, too. So people are pretty excited that, that even though there's no money in connecting Washington, there's a potential for like $600,000 in planning money, which is what they were looking for, to start planning what that project's going to be. So instead of being 30 years from now, people are starting to talk maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, they'll be fixing that. So it won't be immediate, but people are pretty encouraged that that's moving forward, and that's good for our region. Thanks.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add, I've been reading that too. Our $4 million grant stayed the same in both the House and Senate. They were doing things with money, but we're still there for next year. So good for that. Okay, City Manager, several reports.
Thank you, Mayor. Jonah, could I ask you to assist me?
Yes.
One of the things as we were talking through the minutes, I've referenced this a couple times, is the governance manual or protocol manual. And, you know, it's one of the documents I used, and I thought it'd be helpful. I thought I'd just make sure we all had the document and we were all on the same page. So I asked staff to put that together for you. And, I don't know, you may need like your weights with this. I'm also extremely happy tonight to present to you a budget book. And so that is something the staff has gone back. I think you've had that in the past. Didn't have it maybe for the last few years. So with the budget that was adopted, we have one. I would encourage the council to keep the budget book and the governance manual maybe in your boxes here, because at different council meetings I may suggest that you reference those as we have work sessions or deal with things. Thank you so much. And in that vein, if you have an opportunity in the near future to maybe clean out some of your council boxes or getting kind of full, it's hard to put stuff in, and so that might be helpful too. I included in your packet is the legislative update, and again, this captures legislation that is impactful to cities. Legislation staff tracks at the different departmental levels. A couple of things in addition to the report that is in your packet that I wanted to hand out. Thank you. Is I wanted to just give you a document put out by AWC that basically takes significant city legislation that was in the budget, the budget is proposed by the governor, and then passed by what's been passed so far by the Senate Majority Caucus. And just looks at those side by side. And so I think this might be helpful to you as council members just to have an idea of where there are differences or where there is alignment. The House budget, I think, is coming out this week. We'll be waiting on that. One thing I did want to bring to your attention that's of significant concern is that the Senate Majority Coalition Caucus has released their proposed budget for 17-19. And the significant change in this is a shift in the cost for Left 2 from the state to the cities. And currently Left 2 is funded 50% at the employee level, 30% at the employer level, the city, and 20% at the state level. So they would transfer that 20% state contribution to the city. The governor has also recommended an increase in the PERS 2 and 3 employer contributions. So the Left 2 impact to the city, if that goes, would be about $116,000 annually. The PERS impact to the city would be a little over $55,000. And so we would be looking at a biennium budget impact of $171,000. So we are watching that very closely. I would strongly encourage the council to reach out to our elected representatives and strongly advocate against this at the staff level. I would ask the council to authorize staff through their professional associations to advocate against this. It's impactful, $171,000 in our biennium, and this would take effect July 1. So I would need to be coming back to you with budget cuts to keep a balanced budget if this passed.
Wow. As we talked about this, could we get a letter drafted for either all of our we don't have electronic signatures, do we?
No.
To sign to get off to them quickly, because the House budget's already out. And they have their own ways of raising money. But I do believe that we should get in front of this quickly rather than waiting and hoping it goes away.
He can send letters. I'm happy to draft a letter if you want to all sign it. I will say, if you want to authorize me to sign it on your behalf or authorize the mayor, I would also encourage telephone calls because this is a significant issue for us, for all cities. The impact to cities alone, I think, is estimated over $100 million.
Lights out working. I would say that if we need a motion or however we want to do it, I think we should authorize the city manager to write a letter on our council's, on the full council's behalf that says, taking. Putting the burden on us for this, for Left 2 and for PERS, is unacceptable, totally unacceptable. Well, that's what AWC is going to be seeing. But I think we put that letter out there, and then you're right, we could call or email or whatever to our representatives as well on top of that. But I think we need to have a strong position, like you said. This is what they've done every year. It's like, oh, we've balanced the budget, and it's on the backs of the cities. And this is huge. This is, remember our perspective, this is like a 3 or 4% tax increase is what it would take us to cover this, and we just can't do that. This is every year, oh, we'll just take a little liquor money, oh, we'll just take a little of this and that. It's Big Brother taking our lunch money and saying, just go find something else, and there isn't something else to take it from. So this is not cool when they do this. So we should have to come out strongly, I agree. And I think to get it done quickly, if we could just authorize the city manager to do that.
Do we need a motion to do that?
I think it would probably be good if we had a motion that accepted that letter so that it's not misconstrued about who's behind it, I would think. So I'd be having to make a motion for us to direct the city manager to prepare a letter to our state representatives and senator, the three of them, that says we are opposed to any budget proposals they might make that increase the burden on cities for the Left 2 or PERS retirement contributions.
About how much it's going to cost us.
Or, for Mill Creek, this means.
Our reps have been council people here.
That's been on their plate. Now they're shifting it to the cities.
We're opposed to a shift of that. Give her some.
We'll capture that sentiment.
Yeah. I make the motion that we authorize the city manager to prepare that letter and explicitly spell out the amounts that it impacted Mill Creek.
I'll second.
Do we have any additional discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. And if that's ready for our meeting on Thursday, I'll be able to sign it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Also, if we could put something out, if you folks agree.
Yeah, news coverage of the fact the city authorized this letter, and here's, call your representative if you agree.
Tax them on the tax basis.
And should we CC AWC?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I think they like it to see when cities jump on.
Okay. Very much. Next.
I've got one more on the legislative sheet, and I don't know where it is on AWC sheet, but it's on the one that Joni put together on page 4. It is Senate Bill 5711, under the Finance Administration Committee, I guess it was, and it says preempts local government regulation of small cell 5G telecommunication facilities and exempts them from land use review. Senator Hobbs wrote this and sponsored it. Representative Harmsworth is mostly for it but sees some of the issues, and Representative Lovick wasn't really aware of it when Joni and I were down there a couple of weeks ago. That may have changed since then, but this one's kind of flying under the radar. But this is a big deal for Mill Creek. If this went through, basically the telecom providers are basically saying, we don't want to have to come to cities and get a franchise agreement or any sort of specific permitting that would allow them to pop little nano cells or femtocells, whatever they call them, all over town. So we'd have little boxes hanging all over our light posts. And as much as we care about our aesthetics, I'm not sure the way it's written is something we'd be happy with. And Representative Harmsworth was sensitive to that part of it. I think AWC's got a proposal that says maybe there's some sort of master plan. The idea is to make it so the telecom providers don't have to come to cities and go through years and years of permitting process for every little thing they want to do. And I'm all in favor of allowing them to do business in a reasonable fashion, but I don't think the city wants to give up all rights to the look and feel of our city. And we could have some pretty crazy things happen if this goes through. I'm not sure the folks who sponsor this really appreciate the impact on our design standards or city control. This is a city rights issue. So I don't know. I would love staff to research this a little bit more and or check in the AWC, and we may need to go talk to our own Senator Hobbs and say, back off a little bit in this, or maybe it's changed since then. I don't know.
We're actually addressing the city right now. We're working with providers and actually looking at some of our franchise agreements and relevant to this. And it, you know, does take local the concern, I think, is it takes local control away from rights of way and impacts the city's ability to manage through the home rule the rights of way processing and through their code. And so we're actually in the process of updating our franchise agreements right now and auditing some franchise payments. So this is actually something that we're kind of tracking and watching, but the concern is exactly that, the aesthetics. And I think in a city like Mill Creek, that is a concern.
Any of this driven by federal law?
There is a federal component to this. What I don't have is what the preemptive issues are between the federal law and what's proposed here, but we can certainly do some analysis.
I think I'm speculating, I don't know a lot. I only learned about this when we were down at the AWC conference, but it sounded like the telecom providers have come and said, state legislature, we are really anxious to be able to provide new technology and get more coverage across the state. And they got a lot of people to say, yeah, let's expedite the ability to get the newest, latest, greatest technology called 5G available to people. And so who'd want to stand in the way of technological progress? But in the process, they're going to take away our ability to have a franchise agreement and just run all over us. And so the cities are going, whoa, hold on, slow down a little bit. I don't think people appreciate the consequences of what the telecom providers have asked for. I think there's a compromise available, but like you're saying, we're looking at improving our franchise agreements. The way I understood this was our franchise agreements just get tossed out the window. They'd just laugh at you and go, franchise agreements, see you later, we're digging up your streets.
And there's a whole, you know, between the right-of-way issue, also generally in franchises, so for example, cable franchise, we have the ability to reserve, you know, to get service for public facilities, and you take away that ability. And so there's just a lot of tangential issues. And we have a right-of-way, you know, our whole right-of-way permitting process is to manage this very issue, so.
On top of it.
So you'll come back to us with some additional information?
Sure. Yeah.
The legislature's probably going to go at least, they're not going to finish in April, so.
Yeah, I don't know when they would act on this kind of thing, though, because this isn't required. Unless it's necessary for the budget sort of thing.
Tomorrow is the deadline for the bills to get passed out of committee of the second house, not the house of origin, but the second body.
What happened with this one, it was happening, I think the hearing had happened the day before we were at AWC, where they had the identical bill on House and Senate and identical hearing times, and so staff couldn't even make it to both meetings. And I think it went further than they expected in both sides. So it may be one of these that's crossed and has not changed a lot. So I don't know. I've not been following it the last couple of weeks, but we should make sure we don't lose our window to complain.
What number is that? That's...
It says Senate Bill 5711. There's a House bill that's very similar. I don't...
And that's got to be, what, Ted committee?
No more than I do. I'm not sure.
Farmsworth's in that committee. Okay, next up, Rebecca.
Thank you. In your packets is the council planning schedule. We're trying to coordinate staff schedules and council schedules and some conference schedules, so we'll be making a couple of changes to this. I did want to ask the council, it's my understanding that spring break is April 4th for the local school district, and I cannot remember if we had a council meeting on the last spring break or what the history has been, so I wanted to pose that to the council if you still wanted to have that. I've not yet scheduled anything for that meeting, but wanted to bring it up for discussion.
Do you really have anything?
I've arranged a schedule in to avoid that, if we could. So I've got everything scheduled, and I have no immediate needs at this time.
I'm not aware that we've ever canceled a scheduled council meeting for spring break, and I'm personally fine with meeting next week.
We don't have anything. What is it?
State legislature. I don't know. Do we need to talk about this? I'm not sure. There was an agenda or planning agenda. I don't have it with me from a week ago. Had some things, but maybe those have been moved out.
We've got some staff that will be out, so I've had to adjust that. We've got some staff at conferences, so that has affected some of it. Again, it makes no difference to me. I just frankly could not remember what the history has been, and I could not remember what was done last.
I will not be.
So my two at Wazoo just went back. So they had their break.
Yeah.
But I would be fine recognizing some of the staff needs and with the younger kids and stuff. I'm fine with meeting. I'm available. And I don't have any heartburn not meeting.
We're going to have a heavy load on the 11th, but none of it can be moved back. None of it's available for the 4th. So, do we want to cancel or?
If there's staff that has family time opportunities, I think that would be a priority. Motion to cancel the meeting of April 4th.
I'll second that, Mayor.
Okay, any other discussion?
Yes. My concern is we're just talking about maybe the need to take action as a council on things that are happening in the state legislature. And Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw, I was just looking at the one we were talking about with the 5G. Don't know what the House bill is, the companion bill, but if there's something we need to do, I would hate to miss an opportunity to stop it. I'm leery of what, and I'm the worrywart, I apologize, but I would, if this council needs to take action with respect to state legislature stuff, I would hate to miss the opportunity. And so by not meeting, if we miss that opportunity, it'd be a shame. So it sounds like you found the same one.
The companion House bill to 5711 had a public hearing on February 8th in the House, but it looks like it never made it out of committee.
So maybe it's died.
March 17th, that 5711 was returned to rules.
Yeah, so the Senate bill is sitting in the Rules Committee, could get passed to the floor, but the House bill didn't make it anywhere.
So maybe we don't need to worry.
Well, you know something? I'm hopeful that in the future, and I know it's late, and I know that we, I mean, in this legislative session, and we've been dealing with a whole lot of major issues the last couple of years, but I'm really hoping that next year that we're going to be able to get actively involved. And we haven't had the time, we haven't had the resources, but, you know, this is the type of thing we should be doing, and I'm excited about it. We're already going to look at the other bill, 57, the other bill on the left in the PERS. We're going to get a letter out. You know, if, you know, we can have a meeting and then you can cancel it if there's nothing on the agenda, but I don't think it makes any sense to have staff be prepared and put time in. I mean, we already have people working long hours. And if we don't have anything to do, then the 11th is fine.
Well, is there a chance that we could have a letter? We all seem to be concurring that we don't want that Senate bill to...
She's going to draft a letter on here.
For that one about the telecommunications?
No. That one we're...
But we're talking about the... I'm talking about the 5G now.
Okay. No, we haven't taken a position. We can. I'd like to know where it is first.
And that's just it. Without knowing, I'm leery of taking away our opportunity to act. But you're exactly right, Mayor Pruitt. In the past, we have not been very engaged in this. You guys know me, I'm crazy about these details, but I think if there's an opportunity for us to meet and do some good with respect to issues that are important to our city or other cities, I would hate to miss that opportunity. I don't know. I apologize that I'm not wonky enough to have gone through all this stuff as of the last couple of days.
I think for, you know, to Mayor Pruitt's point, Councilmember Todd's point, I think it's an important function of the city to monitor and be engaged in legislation impacting cities. But I think, as with a lot of the changes we've talked about, it's new for us and our growth. And I think this is the first step of at least having a tracking sheet of what legislation is. I think what this does, though, is cue us up for the beginning of next year before, or the end of this year before the session starts, and we will have had some discussion over various bills and positions and issues we're interested in. And what that does is help us start putting together a legislative agenda and actively promote that either through staff, electeds, or both. So I think it's a starting point. And I think, you know, during the session, certainly, you know, Councilmember Todd, your point is well taken that, you know, it's a time-sensitive issue legislation, and we want to be able to act. I think that I can't remember, I apologize, who said that, but if we could leave the council meeting as is, and if there isn't something legislatively pressing, we could cancel it. We don't have staff prepared. Again, the agenda packets would have to go out Friday, so they don't have agenda summaries and information prepared to do that in the next 48 hours. So it would be legislatively driven, but we could certainly leave it and then cancel it if we didn't have any time-sensitive issues like the left to.
So the motion would be to cancel the meeting if no legislative agenda comes up for us?
And I think, help me, I'm not making this up in my head. I think I asked our wonderful city attorney this before. I think we actually don't need a motion to cancel a meeting, that we can do that administratively, but the understanding would be we would only do it if there wasn't a legislative need to have it.
Is that a fair recollection?
I think I had to look at this one time before.
Yeah, I think we did.
We can always pass a motion authorizing you to administratively.
Yeah.
So we have a motion and a second on the floor.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
Can we just simply ask the city manager to also prepare a letter in opposition of Senate Bill 5711, kind of generic opposition letter, and we can view it online?
We can't make decision, though.
Just for viewing.
Well, we can take a position, disapproving of 5711. Is that what you want, Mike?
I'm afraid we're not smart enough to do that right on the spot. I apologize.
Okay, so we'll stay with the left. And then we have a motion and a second on the floor. If the second withdraws and the first withdraws, then we can have a new motion to authorize the city manager to administratively pass the meeting if there is nothing on the agenda. So does the second withdraw?
Yes.
Who was the motion? Oh, Mark. Do you withdraw your motion?
Once it's been moved and seconded, it's put to the body. We can vote it down, but we can't withdraw it from Robert's rules, if we're going to play by those rules.
Consent agenda. Okay, we can do that. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, nay.
Hey, I have, Mayor, just for the record, I abstained. I didn't think it's appropriate for me to vote on canceling a meeting that I can't.
You're not going to be here. Okay, so do we have a motion to authorize the city manager to administratively cancel the next meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Motion
and
a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously?
One abstention.
Not going to be here. Sean. Okay, city manager.
So are we going to have an email from you then by the end of the week?
Well, I'll have Gina contact you by email and phone just to make sure everyone's covered.
Okay, so well, we should know by Friday. Okay, thank you.
And there will be an announcement in the papers, right?
Oh, of course. I'm sorry, going back to the council planning agenda, it's currently on April 11th, on May 2nd. There's an ADP demo, and I'm kind of excited to bring this to you. I know when I first got here, I had some conversations with Councilmember Michelson, and she really urged, you know, exploring this. But ADP is more than a payroll solution. It's a human resource information system as well. And I made the comment earlier about building the processes to support the policies. And this is an integral part to the HR policies to build that support. One of the things that we've talked about is performance evaluations. And so this system actually automates that, where all managers, including the city council, can actually electronically fill out evaluations that tracks goals, ties goals to evaluations. It's a lot of things that we've talked about in the past, and I'm excited to bring that to you. So that is for the May 2nd agenda. I also just wanted to note that the staff has worked very hard, and the council has supported the staff greatly with the funding to renovate the facilities and provide more space. And we are finally bringing that very big project to a close. And I think it is a tremendous cause for celebration for two reasons. I think in my conversations with the council, you all, you know, expressed how many years you've been wrestling with space solutions. And your support of staff to authorize the money for that is significant. And I think the other celebration is really the fact of how much work was done by staff. You know, I could literally go on, and I won't do that tonight, but there are so many things where we could have contracted out oversight or portions of the work that were done really by the staff here. So Joni's team is organized an open house to celebrate the conclusion of that project, to share our campus with the public and with various VFPs. I had the occasion recently to have a meeting with the school superintendent and just kind of walked him through the buildings and showed him the changes. And he was, you know, he's like, my initial impression is when I walk in here, it just looks so professional. And I think that's something for everybody, council, public, staff, to take pride in. So that'll be kind of a celebration of putting the icing on the cake on that project. And then lastly, certainly not least, I've asked Peggy to give an update from the audit exit conference. I know some of the council was able to attend that, but she was going to go through the highlights, and it's a chance Yeah, there he is. Thanks, Steve. He's going to help as needed, too. So, always good to have the chief at my back. I love that.
Always covered.
All right, Peggy, can I turn that over to you?
Yeah, just we had the exit conference a couple of weeks ago. Some of you were in attendance. And just by way of review for the public, for those that weren't able to attend, the state auditor's office does two types of audits. They do a financial audit, which, you know, is an independent assessment of our balance sheet and our operations. And then they also do what's called an accountability audit. And so that looks at things. They assess how local governments manage the public resources. And so I would encourage everybody to go to the website for the SAO, if they haven't, to look at the reports there. There's a menu bar that you can search on reports, and then you just type in City of Mill Creek, and it'll pull up all of the audit reports if you put in the correct date range. So they're there online. The period that we covered, we're talking about 2015. I know it's 2017, but it took a long time for them to come out and field work, and we just wrapped that up, so they've just published. And the areas that they covered in 2015, they looked at the financial condition, which would be our financial audit. They looked at credit cards. They looked at cash receipting. They looked at the public safety software, which is the new world. And then they also looked at our dissolution of ESCA, which was our emergency agency, how we booked that into the financial statements. And I thought I would just highlight a couple of those items. If you go back a month ago, we did our financial review, and we looked at some of the things that I had found within the system when we look at this effort of continuous improvement. And then you even take it back a little bit further to the LEMAP. You'll see the same theme coming up in the exit conference. Internal controls, policies and procedures and processes, really. The New World implementation, I believe, took place at the beginning of 2015. Is that right? When was it?
October. I think they tried their first launch in June, because I remember it was just a couple days of me first starting here.
Right.
So I think they finally got it launched permanently in October.
Okay. So leading up to that, to launch an implementation takes, you know, months of preparation. And through that, they noted a couple of things that we could have done better. One of them was the department did not perform a property audit, so we didn't look at the inventory that was on hand and count it prior to putting it in the system, so that you could match both the paper trail and then also what was in the system. There's an audit report that's contained within the software that we can look at that shows any changes or deletions. We haven't been monitoring that as of this date. There wasn't a cash or receipt reconciliation. If you'll recall from the financial review, we use a lot of different systems and none of them are really integrated. So you have to go the extra step of doing reconciliations. And what they identified was, you know, when we take receipt money for tickets, we need to make sure that there's a reconciliation that goes into our financial system as well. And then also a prevailing theme that we talked about a month ago was the security matrix for all the software is the appropriate access levels there. So we need to do, one of the things we have in our work plan is to go through a security matrix for all the different types of software that we use. And as a result of these control weaknesses, they identified seven discrepancies. Chief, I think you want to talk about some of those discrepancies in the resolution?
You bet. They note in the report seven discrepancies. We're able to go through and address each one of those during the audit process and determine that although there were discrepancies in record keeping, nothing was missing. And the management letter references issues with guns and drugs and jewelry and cash, and those are all the high dollar items that we deal with in the police department that can cause us significant problems if we lose some of that stuff. Well, we didn't lose any of it. We just didn't have some of the proper tracking in place. So the audit looks at the paperwork piece of this and asks these questions. Hey, where's this 9mm handgun? You say you have it, but it's not here. And so, for example, in that case, that 9mm handgun had been set to go to the crime lab, so it was in a different place, but there was no suspense notation in the software to say that's where it was. Now we had a paper copy that says, oh yeah, that's here, and here it is, So it was primarily a function of the transition from our justice system to the new world system and some of the transitions that went with that. Personnel learning, remembering check this box, check that box, do this kind of thing here. So the great news is that we didn't lose seven pieces of jewelry, cash, drugs, or guns. We have all of them, or we know where they are. Another issue that came up is we transferred property to the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office because our investigation was related to their investigation. So we have a property tracking sheet that shows that on this date at this time, our person released this item to this person at the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office who signed that they received it on this date at this time. That form we have, we could track the property. The information in that form didn't get included into the software. It wasn't entered into the computer. The work was done, but it wasn't in the computer. And you know, I really believe that is just a function of the transition from one system to another system. But some of these things date back till 2011 or 2012. There were two pieces of jewelry identified that were returned to the owner. We couldn't make a criminal case on it, so we didn't need to keep the two pieces of jewelry as evidence for a criminal case, so we released those to the owner. The owner came in, signed the form that they received them. We signed the form that they were given their jewelry back. But again, that information missed getting entered into the computer system. So those discrepancies came up. Again, the good news is we have everything. We didn't lose anything. And we've learned as part of that. Like Peggy mentioned, there are provisions in place in the New World system that we're still learning. We're still getting used to taking full advantage of the power of the system. We went through a tough time when we were trying to make New World be justice, as opposed to saying, okay, we're done with justice, now let's use New World the way it should be. We spent a lot of time trying to make New World be justice. We realized that's not going to work. So we're making great strides with that right now.
I also think it's, I should mention that when you go to the website for the auditors, you won't see this information contained in there. All of these things that they're pointing out are really contained in a management letter, and that's really guidance for management to take a look at these things to try and improve internal controls. It doesn't rise to the level of a finding. So these are things we're mentioning to you to be transparent so that you know some of the things that we've identified, that's been identified in the LEE map. Now the auditors are coming in identifying that we are actively pursuing. We've got them in the work plan so that we can resolve, and just as a way of continuously improving our processes and procedures. The other area that was mentioned were credit cards. The audit found the following weaknesses: internal controls. No surprise, a big one is policies. Our policies date back to 1991. They don't contain information related to, for instance, business meals, what we would call business meals, or I think they call it meals with meetings. You know, it's pretty common practice to have a business meal to take. You know, maybe economic development takes out a developer and they have a business meal where we pick up the tab. We just need to wrap that up into a policy. You know, the other big one that was mentioned in their management letter was the employee recognition program. We've talked about how we've gone from a program that didn't really have a lot of consistency between departments. You know, one department might get jewelry, another department gets something else. Now we've tied that to a program, our STAR values, which are located on the wall there. The next step to that would be to wrap a policy around that so that it doesn't look like we are inappropriately using public funds to recognize employees. So we wrap that up in a policy and we are good to go. In fact, the business meeting, the meals with meetings, I asked them for their policy so I would have a template to start from, and we can incorporate that and bring our policies up to date. So those are the things that they had mentioned. Again, it's guidance for us to do better at improving internal controls, improving our policies and procedures. And it's one of the areas, you know, we talk about the change and all the change that's happening here, but it's really necessary for us to incorporate this type of change so that we can be good stewards of public funds.
And I hope what you're seeing, you know, is being recognized as really a theme, right? And so we talked about policies through the LEAN map. We talked about policies through the auditors. We talked about policies through Patty's overview and presentation she did. But going to the comment I made earlier, policies talk about what you will do. So, for example, in other discussions we've talked about, like the lead map study, talked about failure to have performance evaluation. So we could have a policy that says everybody has to have a performance evaluation, you know, every 6 months or every year or whatever we decide. But then you have to build the process for that. You have to develop the performance evaluation, and you have to tie it to a job description that has to be current. So you have to write the job description. Then you have to have a way to manage the system and to oversee the policy. So one of the things that I think is important to convey to all of you is that we're not just identifying areas of weakness, but we're identifying the areas, and then we're having to build not just the policy, but the procedures to enforce the policies and have those appropriate internal controls. And that takes a tremendous amount of work, but that's what you're hearing about when you hear about, well, we've had these changes. Yes, we have. We have changed our employee recognition to tie to a value system that ties to the guiding principles. And now we've developed the values, and we've developed the system, then we will develop the policy. But there is a real building process to each of these areas we've talked about, whether it be police or finance or, even IT. Peggy mentioned, the cash receipting, and none of our systems are tied together. If you'll recall, when I presented the budget, this was one of the things we wanted to look at, was like an ERP system, and that's why we did IT under finance, because of that huge financial cost of such a system. But what that does is it ties all those systems together, so you don't have all these manual different systems that you have to maintain 20, 30 different software systems working independently instead of an integrated system or talking to each other different things. So when a passport technician or a building permit technician takes a cash payment, it's going through the same system and being accounted for the same.
Do you know the status of the grant application Mr. Davern is working on with the Little League for Freedom Field?
The other one. I do not. I will have to check. I don't know if you had an update from Brian recently working with the Little League.
My understanding was they hadn't done much work to help on that.
Okay.
But I'm not sure the exact detail of it.
Okay, so we'll check on that for you.
The deadline is this Friday at 5 o'clock.
All right, well, he's aware of that.
Anything else?
Do you have
anything else? No.
Okay, with that, we're going to recess to executive session for the discussion of the status of collective bargaining agreements and review negotiations on the performance of a publicly bid contract per RCW 4230110-1D for approximately how long? 15 minutes? 30?
I think this will take more. We can, this will take 45 minutes to an hour.
The audience communication, we can do it again. Did anybody want to speak to the council again? Think so. Okay. So let's start with 30 minutes because we have to stay in the room. So. Yeah. Let's start with 30 minutes and yes. So with that, we are recessed to executive session.